Jimmy R., I'm an addict. I'm clean through the grace of my loving Father in heaven. Grateful to the people in Narcotics Anonymous that gave me a life, and then they showed me how to live it one day at a time. The 12 steps and 12 traditions allow me to carry along that spiritual path. And what I heard when I first came around here from the old timers is this, that religion was for people trying to stay out of hell, and spirituality is for people who've been there. And if you're an addict of my type, you've been to hell. Because believe me, when you get up in that morning and you don't know where that gate shot's coming from, you know you're living in hell, you know. And I'm eternally grateful to this fellowship. I want to thank the people of this region, give me a chance to speak. And it's always great to do a Narcotics Anonymous meeting, you know. And the part about religion is this. I believe that my mother and father tried to teach me about God and religion. I believe that the Catholic Church did to the best of their ability try to tell me about religion. And I believe on my own, reading about the different religions and going to the churches and the different things about the religion, it just didn't work for me. And I think God knew about guys like me, and he said, these guys just can't get it in religion. So guess what? I'm going to start a 12-step program. And that works for me, man. And I think out of all the 12-step programs, I think Narcotics Anonymous is the best one. And the reason I say that is this. You know, in AA, it's for alcohol. GA is for gambling. OA is for overeating. Narcotics Anonymous, when all the rest of them don't want you, you're just right for Narcotics Anonymous. We're like the Monty Hall Fellowships. Bipolar, come on down. Multiple personality disorders, come on down. We don't kick nobody out of this fellowship, man. You know, we try to love you and we try to work with you. And I sponsor some bipolar guys. And when they take their medication and they work this fellowship, they're fine. They're fine, you know. And don't ever, because when I finish these 12 steps, they didn't turn around and say to me, guess what, Jimmy? Now you're a lawyer, you're a doctor, you're a marriage counselor, you're a financier. They didn't say that to me. I missed that, you know. They told me to work these 12 steps, and we'll show you a spiritual way of living. And that's what's worked for me for 19 years. I just celebrated 19 years a couple weeks ago. See, you people did for me. You taught me what spirituality is, what all the rest of them tried and couldn't do. You know, and I love this fellowship, and that's why I keep coming back and keep trying to give away what you freely was given to me by you people, you know? And the way I want to talk about spirituality, that's all I know about religion, man. You know, what I know is spirituality. And what I can talk about spirituality, and the only way I can talk, I'd love to sit up here and tell all of you, by the way, how humble I am and how spiritual I am. But you know what? If you're talking about them, you don't even know the meaning of them. What I do know is about gratitude. And through the 12 steps in our literature, by the way, is where my program comes from. Jimmy don't have his program. I had my program in the street. It didn't work. I came in here and I worked the program in Narcotics Anonymous, and it works. And I'm going to tell you what, through the minute I started working them steps, I started to learn about unmanageability in that first step, man. And what I teach my sponsees today is this. It's just not about putting the alcohol and drugs down. Jimmy was nicknamed Crazy Jimmy in the first grade by the nuns. Why? Because he liked to set the fire alarms off and watch everybody run around. And by the seventh grade, they asked me to leave. And they sent me to the bad boy Catholic school, you know, in another neighborhood. So I know all about unmanageability, but what I have to teach my sponsees and what I had to learn is unmanageability in all areas of my life. When I say to a sponsee, how you doing? I ain't used drugs in 6 months. I say, yeah, but you're cheating on your wife. You owe the bookie $10,000. That kind of stuff can get you killed. You ain't understanding unmanageability. See, and I had to learn that in all areas of my life. I hung on a section of Maryland called Baltimore called Blair Road and Harford Road. And I was kicked out of every bar up there For the longest time, I thought my name was Oh No. I would walk in the bar and the bartender go, Oh No. I suffer from another disease. I'm Irish, and I'll fight at the drop of a hat. And I don't want anybody in here to think I was a tough guy. I was O for my last 50 fights. It's hard to be a tough guy when you can't even stand up. And that's another thing I'm grateful in this fellowship. In 19 years of being in this fellowship, I have never had to put my hands on another human being. And another human being has never put their hands on me. And if nothing else, I'm grateful for that. Because I was sitting across from my longtime running partner, and he was in prison, and I was sitting across from him, and he had spent, I don't know, 20 years in prison, different prisons, and I would always come and visit him. He said, he looked at me weird one day, and he said, how come me and you did all the same things, and I've been in here for 20 years, and you've been out there? I said, every time we beat a guy up, I went home and asked God to forgive me. Every time we robbed somebody, I went home and asked God to forgive me. He said, that's the difference between me and you. I abandoned God a long time ago. But you know what? I shot an OD one day in my house, and I went out. And that same guy, the guy that I was in prison, was out, and he was getting ready to shoot the dope in his foot. He had a major decision to make. You know that. Put that dope down and save my life, or shoot that dope and maybe take a chance that it's too late. And I'd love to tell you that I would have put it down and took him around, but I can't tell you that. But I can tell you what he did. He put it down and talked me around. Talked me around till I came back. And he went back to prison. And guess what? I got clean. And I carried the message of Narcotics Anonymous into our prisons today. And guess what? He's got 8.5 years clean. You know? I like to tell people I came around here and sat in my seat one day too long. And I decided to stay because what you all were saying made sense to me. And the second step is, I believe, where that first crossroad comes. You're either going to go this way or you're going to go that way. And when you go this way, you plug into a God of your understanding, or there's one sentence in that second step that describes my life. Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. That's how I live my life. Same thing, man, you know? And what happened to me was, right before I came in here, I would to share for the newcomer, make sure you know you belong, I was drinking up to a fifth, a quarter liquor a day. I was no longer shooting heroin. I was eating a bag of heroin. Anybody ever eat a bag of heroin? It ain't the breakfast of champions. I'm telling you that right now. Because I was like, it's shaking, right? And then, this is how I went to work. I had a job. I had a union that protected me. And I would try to snort the dope. Did you ever do that? And it all goes over your rug? And then that light bulb goes off in your head that you're 41 years old, and before you go to work, you're down there snorting your rug? Oh, that ain't it. What is it? Trying to find the dope before you can even go to work. That's insanity. Insanity. The best way I can tell you, if this ain't insane, you go into a neighborhood where you don't know anybody, and you give your money to Big Head Johnson or something, right? And then you start praying that Big Head Johnson will come back, right? And then he comes back, and he hands you a bag that says Death Wish. And you go home and cook it up and put it in your body. If you ain't insane, I don't know how to explain it any better than that to you. If you gave a normal person a bag of dope and said, here, go shoot this, it'll make you feel better about yourself, they said, what are you, crazy? He'd look at the bag and see Death Wish and say, I don't think I want anything to do with that, right? And in the third step, turning my life over to God, man, I saw the change in me already in two steps. I saw the change in you people, because there were guys in these rooms that I swore to God they was either dead or they was shipped to a penitentiary in Arizona because they was too bad for our joint. And there they were smiling and living good right here in these rooms. See, that taught me something. They were my peers. And I knew what they were like out in the street. And now I see them and the way they're talking and the way they're acting. You know, when I got here, they told me to clean my mouth up. Mother triggered everything I said. You know what they said to me about cursing? They said, Jimmy, you know what cursing is? It's a crutch for conversational cripples. And you know, I was asked to do a convention down in South Carolina, and that convention this summer in August was run by a bunch of bikers. And you know what the guy said to me? He said, Jimmy, you know why your name came up and why they asked you to do this convention? Because you don't use all that filthy language. Imagine that. Bunch of bikers. He don't use all that filthy language. That's how I got to do that convention down there. They told me I had to change everything. I'd see a girl in here and I'd say to my sponsor, I know her, she's a whore. He said, she ain't a whore in here. She's a lady. I'd say, see that guy over there? He's a snitcher. I'm going to bang him in his mouth. He said, not in here you ain't. He said, now you got to pray for him. 7 times 70. Man, when you start praying for somebody 7 times 7, you start to love them. You know what I mean? That's what he told me. And he told me things. He kept telling me things that made sense. Like, if you dislike that guy so much, guess what? You're chained to him. Because look at him. He don't even know you're here. Right? I said, I'm chained to him, man. You know? He said to me, you know what, Jimmy? All addicts can talk. The ones that develop the ability to listen are going to be the ones that make it. Watch a newcomer. He'll come in here and go, can I do the meeting? Yeah, go ahead. But what are you going to do when it comes for time and you get done and you're telling all your stories? What happens when you got to talk about recovery? Looked like Dracula bit him on the neck, all the blood went out. He said, I'll sit over there. We said, keep coming back, because that's what we do to people. Keep coming back, right? And I started working that third step, and I started changing my fears to faith. I saw it working. And I liked it. And what happened was I got on my fourth step, and in my fourth step is where I think there's a key to every one of these. In my fourth step, the key was my patterns. My patterns. See, I like women to dance on tables, but I always end up underneath the table. So I started changing my patterns, because guess who my teachers were? You people, especially the ones that went back out there and came back and told me how it was still going on out there. See, I'm just your pupil. You're all my teacher. I hope that never changes. And they would come back in here, man. Nobody ever comes back here and goes, I got a pocket full of money. I'm driving a new Cadillac. Man, brother, can you get me a sandwich? Can you put me in a halfway house? Yeah. Right? And new people are wild, ain't they? They come in, and you take them over to the coffee table, right? And you give them a half a cup of coffee. Don't dare give them a full cup. They'll throw it all over you, right? You give them a half a cup of coffee, and you look at them, and you go, you want cream or sugar? They go, well, I don't know if I take cream or sugar. 30 days later, I see that same guy, and he says, hey, Jimmy, come here a minute. I want you to meet my fiance. Huh? How's that work like that? My fiance. I love it. We ought to tape newcomers. And then if they stay around, we ought to play it back to them. Is what you said. I'm glad I had a sponsor that knew me. He said, I know you can talk, so you ain't doing a meeting until you got 6 months. Swear to God, just so I had 6 months, I was asked to do a meeting, and I was doing it. Who do you think comes through the door? Him. He don't say, why, Jimmy, hello, how are you? He said, you got 6 months? I said, today. He said, okay. See, that was old school. That not all this patting on the back and all that. You know, they shut up and sit down that front row. We want to know about dope. We'll call on you. They were right. We love people to death around here now. We love people to death around here. This one guy said, I came in a room and my sponsor gave me a teddy bear. A teddy bear? I'm still getting my sponsor's foot removed from me. Huh? Man, the old school was the way, man. Tough love for us guys. An addict will not attempt to come in these rooms as long as you'll give him a pillow to put his head on. And parents are loving them to death out there because I've probably lost 25 sponsees to this disease or more. You know? And in that fifth step, and you ever notice when you go into step meetings and different meetings, you hear people talk about all the different steps. You ever hear them talk about the fifth step and the 11th step? The fifth step, very important step. Because in that step, you have to learn the exact natures of your wrongs. Now, you can think about robbing a bank all you want, but you go ahead and rob that bank, see what happens. You see, I started learning the exact nature of my wrongs in that fifth step. And in that sixth step, I got back to where my problem always lied, right here. My character defects or my thought process, man. And I had to work on them character defects. Did you ever notice something? These steps really work well when you go into meetings, right? They coincide. They go together, right? And what I heard was when I went in, when I started working my sixth step, I walked in, the woman was up here, and she said, character defects are like taking a Kleenex out of a box. The next one's going to pop right up. And an old-timer told me, he says, you're going to walk some of these character defects right to your grave, you know? And my sponsor only made one mistake with me. When I was on the third step, he said to me, Jimmy, you need to make women friends. I said, oh, I've been waiting for this. Women friends. And this redhead came through the door, and I said, I'm going to make her my friend. Now, I'll show you how God works, why God wanted me with that woman. Her son just celebrated 13 years clean. He works every day. He don't step out of his marriage. He's raising his three kids and the child she had before they got married. See, that's why God had me in that relationship. 2 weeks after I was dating her, she banged on my window from my front porch. And I opened my curtains up. And she said those words us men love to hear, we need to talk. So I shut them curtains up. I turned around, got on my knees, and I said, God, if you remove her from my life, I'll never ask you for another thing. So when they tell you watch what you pray for, you better listen to them old guys when they tell you, man. See, I can't look down my nose at anybody around here, and I talk about the newcomers because I remember one old guy with 37 years telling me, he said, son, you're just about the highest square on the tree. It's hard to look down on anybody, ain't it, after you hear that, right? And if you're going to look down on somebody, you better be ready to pick them up. Because that's what we do around here. And I know we gossip and we talk and everything, but I still defend this fellowship to this, that we show up. When my daughter died in 99, after I had 10 years clean, my daughter died. The hardest thing I ever had to go through, man. And you know what? The people at the funeral parlor said, was your daughter a dignitary or something? I mean, they mobbed that place, mobbed it. And you know what? I was always the guy, the big money man. I send you flowers. I send you a card, but I don't show up. Since 1999, I show up because you people taught me that's what we do. When somebody dies, we show up. And in between that six and seven steps sits that word that is hard for addicts, humility. Oh, we know how to get humbled now. Oh, man, Judge, you give me 90 days? Man, that's a humble. I was standing next to my partner one day. Now, you talk about, you think we ain't insane? The judge looked at me and my partner, and he said, 30 days of city jail. My partner said, I'll do it standing on my head. Judge said, I'll give you 60, get you back on your feet. I said, I ain't with him. I mean, that's how the insane things we do and say. We're really insane. And you know what? We don't know it till we get in here and work steps for a while to see how crazy we really are. And that seventh step, not acting out on them character defects, man. Asking God to have them removed. You know, it took me three times of working the steps and coming around the third time to that sixth step to understand Jimmy wasn't removing no character defects. God was removing those character defects. And I had to pray and ask him for every addiction I had. You know what? Let me tell you something. If you've been here and you said these words, God help me, you're done. Your life is now under new management. That's right. And God will destroy a life to save it. That is his help to you. That is his help to you. I had a sponsee, I said, he kept visiting the prostitutes up on this avenue we got in Baltimore, Patterson Park Avenue. And I kept telling him, do you think God loves you? And he'd say, yeah. I said, well, you think God wants you going up there and doing things to his little girls that he loves up on Patterson Park Avenue? Well, he didn't listen. He called me one night. He said, can you come and get me? I said, where are you at? He said, I'm in jail. Well, I said, I don't get people out of jail. Most of you belong there. Jail's a good teacher. I sponsored 3 or 4 guys. Bucky will tell you that they've done over 20 years. And they'll tell you jail saved their life. Ain't a whole lot of dope fiends out in the street, old dope fiends. Old dope fiends been saved by jail. It's the truth. So I started working these steps, the rest of the steps in my life, and I got to the 8th step. And thank God for sponsors, because by now I thought I was Snow White. And I went to him with my list, and he looked at my list and he said, who's Fast Eddie and Fat Ned? I said, they're drug dealers I stuck up. He said, what are you going to do, go down to projects and make amends? You imagine going down to projects and going, I got to come up, fellas, and make amends. They go, yeah, Jimmy, come on up. We want to see if you can fly. I mean, that's how insane we are, even with clean time in here. That's why we got a sponsor. He said, who's Tom, Dick, and Harry? I said, they're husbands and wives I slept with. He said, man, are you crazy? Injuring people. We don't injure people around here. In fact, including yourself. You can get injured doing that stuff, man. And he whittled my 8-step list down. And in 9-step, all you need, the key word in the 9-step, is having the willingness to make amends. That's all you need. You know what I found out about this step? Usually when a person shows up, and I don't mean your family or close friends. I mean somebody you offended, right, down the road. If they show up, God's usually going to use you. When you make the amends, it was a city councilman, and when I was high, I was a nasty guy, and I used to mess with him. And one day he came to me. I mean, I walked up to him and I said, Eddie, I want to tell you I'm sorry for all the things I said to you. He said, that's okay, Jimmy. Can you help my daughter? I spent hours on the phone, twice, got the people to go down that corner, and she never showed up either time. And you know what he said to me? He said, fine, Jimmy. Thank you. You did all you could. See, God puts us in a position to use the 12 steps in our fellowship to help people. You know, and I'm eternally grateful for that, man, to be able to help people and not hurt them today. My favorite poem is Footsteps, because he was always carrying me, You know? And I had this sponsee one time, and I said to him, when are you going to start working that 10th step? He said, well, there's this guy in Alaska I ain't made amends to yet. I said, if God wants to have you make amends to him, God will fly him down from Alaska. Start working a 10th step. See, I get up in the morning, and I get out of bed, and my prayer, I pray for people in the morning. But my first prayer is this, God, allow me to do your will, not mine, right? My will is to be an AA, GA, OA, AAA, all of them. And at night when I go to bed, I thank God for a good day. Because if you're an addict of my kind, it's a good day. And the 11th step is how the old timers stay around here. You know what humility is? I'm going to give it to you real simply. Humility is aligning my will with God's will. And we always knew it. We always knew what right from wrong. You can't sit there and lie. You can blame your parents and the Catholic Church and everybody else you want to. But guess what? Jimmy ain't blaming nobody. Jimmy always made his own decisions. Because I stole the kids next door's little soldiers. And I knew it was wrong because I hit them. From that moment on, I ain't in denial. See? And his 12th step is having had a spiritual awakening. I don't need anybody to tell Jimmy that he's changed. I ain't the same guy that walked through them doors 19 years ago that didn't care about nobody. See, I'm a different guy today. I show up for people today. I got the word to do this meeting on the way down here. Guy called me up and said, Jimmy, are you going down here? I said, I'm on my way right now. He said, I need you to do a meeting 6 o'clock tomorrow night. And here I am. That's what we do in this fellowship. You got to give it away to keep it. It's as simple as that. Ladies and gentlemen, this fellowship is a gift from God. What you choose to do with that gift is up to you. I choose to come back and give away what was freely given to me by you people. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for that great message, Jim. Our second speaker is King. I'm going to turn the meeting over to King.
I'm an addict. My name is King. And I'm blessed by my high power not to have the desire to use today. So for that, I am immensely grateful. And I say that because when I first got here, that was the only way that I could relate to God based on where I had been and where I came from. So I guess I need to first just say, just in case people think I am not nervous, let me just say I am. So we can kind of get that out the way. You know, our literature says our stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like, what happened, and what we are like now. So I can definitely say that what I used to be like is not the guy you see today. Not only did I not look like this, I didn't think like this, I definitely did not talk like this. Just like Jimmy, and thank you for the wonderful message.
Thank you.
I was born and raised in Harlem, and I went to a Catholic school. I walked from a project past a public school in order to get to a Catholic school. So for all the tough guys in here, like me, I got beat up many more times than I learned how to fight before I got to school. And what I mean by that is that by the time I got to school and by the time I was in the third grade, me and God had a problem already. Because religion was not saving me from getting beat up, and I didn't understand that. I had a problem with being taught about a religious thought process that said that thou should not kill, thou should not hurt, thou should not steal, thou should not covet another's wife, and all of these thou should nots, but thou should not beat me up and wasn't happening. So if you're skinny, black, big lip, and you live in a project, and you wear a little white shirt and tie, and you gotta go to school, and you're gonna learn how to fight sooner or later. But what really got me into fighting was my dad said, don't come home crying no more. So he became God. It wasn't the nuns in the school who I thought was going to protect me. It wasn't the church that was supposed to protect me. I had to look at this dude who I called my father, who then became God, because I ain't want the whipping. By the time I went through Rikers Island, Sing Sing, Napanac, 5 different treatment centers, a couple of different recovery places, by the time I arrived here, I had cursed God. I won't use the word that I used, but me and God did not get along. But check out my story. Every time I was in one of them places where I needed God to get me out, y'all know what I'm talking about, right? We call them foxhole prayers. Yeah. I was begging God for some help. Every time I was walking down 8th Avenue, Lenox Avenue, 7th Avenue, or somewhere in North Philly, somewhere where I ain't had no business being, and I was copping and it was pouring down rain, and I didn't want this bag to get wet in my hand, I was saying, God, you just keep this thing dry till I get where I'm going. So I had a funny kind of relationship with God. He was okay as long as he could help me out. But other than that, he really wasn't helping me out. You know, our program is derived from a religious place driving you to a spiritual place. If you've ever smoked a joint in a basement, if you ever took a hit of dope in an abandoned building, you was trying to seek what we try to seek here. And that is, I'm a human being seeking a spiritual experience. It has nothing to do with whether I am Muslim, Baptist, Catholic, Hindu, Turkish. It don't damn matter. There's only one God. And since we all are children of God, we are all seeking that same God. Now, I share it that way because I know that there's some people in here whose feathers I may ruffle in some kind of way. So please charge it to my head, not to my heart. I don't mean to demean anyone's religion. I'm only sharing with you my experience. My experience has been that I was always seeking a spiritual power. I just didn't want to confine to religion. I needed not to be told how to go to church, because every church that I've been in had a dress code. I had to give up money at a certain time. I needed to be there at a certain time. I needed to act a certain way, and there was no love in the church. That's just my experience. So by the time I got here, I was so beaten spiritually, emotionally, mentally, that I was seeking love any kind of way I could get it. And what I'm trying to convey is that we give hugs in this fellowship. I ain't never been hugged walking in a church. I've never been hugged by anyone who considers themselves of the religious background. And I'm not saying that against anyone. I'm trying to bring some people's attention to the fact that the search, the seeking of the spirit inside of you is what we're all seeking. Whether it comes from a religious denomination or from our denomination. How about this? The spirit lives inside you. Most people really don't believe that. But our step process is designed for you to unleash the freedom of you to get to the spirit that lives inside of you. And the spirit that lives inside of you, once you go through our step process, will reveal to you how you can be. Because we've all dreamed about being compassionate, loving, caring, kind, as he was talking about, picking up someone, don't gossip about someone, don't tear anybody down, have some character. Don't assassinate someone's character with your own defects. In the church, just like in here, we'll talk about a motherfucker. We will tear you down. But if you notice, if you stay in this process long enough, you learn how to build somebody back up. You learn to practice being God-like rather than being you-like. So I am so very glad that I had an opportunity to connect back with a God of my understanding through the spiritual development of this program. I am so glad, using my own thinking of my own arrogance, my own rebelliousness, to get past that and have the courage to reach out to other people in spite of the fact that I don't like them. In spite of the fact that they may be of a different persuasion than me. Besides the fact that they may come from someplace different than me. I was born and raised in Harlem. Everything about that I knew about the Washington, D.C. area was about the fact that all of these people down here was country bumpkins and what y'all call them? Bammers? That was my thinking. But them Bammers are the people who have led me to learn how to reach inside me, look and see the loving, caring dude I could be, and show me how to be that way. Now, I don't know if it's the place, the geography, or is it just the spiritual development? But what I'm sharing with you is that we have a place that where after you've been kicked out of every other place you could possibly be, we're going to teach you how to still find God. And our first step, most folks talk about it as saying that it's about honesty. But I share with you that it's about humility. And I'm going to tell you why. In order to accept and surrender, you have to have practiced some humility. Because if you don't surrender, you will be humiliated by the disease of addiction. So we can't get humble. We have to practice some humility. And then our second step, it talks about coming to believe in a God of your understanding, which automatically tells you that it ain't going to be Jesus Christ. It ain't going to be the Buddha. It ain't going to be Allah. It ain't going to be no religion that you know. But the sun don't shine because of you. The grass that grew this morning ain't had nothing to do with you. The fact that it rained, like it's going to rain tomorrow, ain't got a damn thing to do with you. So you need to get in touch with the fact that your insane thinking is about that you ain't God. That's just my experience. I don't know about nobody else's. But since my name is King, I thought I could have the power to do all those things. And I had none of it. It was about God. So I needed to practice enough humility to come to believe in a God of my understanding. And the more I got to understand God, the more I had the ability to learn how to practice just enough faith to stay here just long enough to find out that what y'all was talking about was really going to be okay. Because I'm one of them dudes who came in meetings with that was already high. I'm one of them guys who came in meetings that had some drugs in his pocket. I'm one of them guys who came in meetings with guns in their pocket. I just don't come in there anymore. But when we start getting to the removal of the defects, when we start getting to learning how to not practice shortcomings, tell me that's not spiritual. Tell me that it's not spiritual when you know you want to do something wrong to someone else and hurting their feelings, and you refrain by practicing some discipline and praying to God and asking him to help you. Tell me it's not spiritual when you can say, I'm going to write an 8-step list and don't put me on it. Because by then you should have done your first 7 steps. You really don't need to put yourself on the 8-step list. Tell me it's not spiritual that in your 9th step you go say, I'm sorry, and say, just in case you may not accept it, I'm still going to be okay with it because I cleaned up my side of the street. If that ain't spiritual, I don't know what is. Tell me it's not spiritual if you're doing a 10th step every day, you really ain't got to go back and do another 8th step. Because there really shouldn't be nobody on your list because you're doing it every day. You're taking a short inventory every day. So if you're taking one, why need to write another 8-step list? Our 11th step clearly states, sought through prayer and meditation to improve my conscious contact with a God of my understanding. So if I'm not praying and I'm not meditating, who am I talking to? More than likely, I am talking to me. More than likely, I am asking myself the questions and I'm giving myself the answers. So if there ain't no God, who am I talking to? We all know by the time you get to that point in your step process that this here will tell you anything. And it will talk to you in your own voice. So it will guide you in a manner that says that you will continue to do the things you've always done. So I share with you that our 12th step is about reaching out to another human being and showing them some love. And where I come from, we don't show folks no love. If you are in any kind of way in my way, I'm stepping on you. But if you've gotten to the 12th step through practice, it just ain't that easy to step on somebody else. Religion didn't teach me that. Now, unfortunately for me, I'm not a Bible person, so I don't really know a lot about the Bible. I didn't learn about the Bible until I was a grown man. I got taught by what is called a catechism. That was my religious background. But the religious background I had gave me nothing to identify with. And the spirituality of the spirit that the program develops for me gives me the universe to identify with. And what do I mean by the universe? We have a slick saying in the street that what goes around comes around. But the aura of practicing the love that we get in a spiritual being and a human being seeking a spiritual connection is overwhelming. It has given me the freedom to find the key to the spirit that lives inside of me. And what do I mean by that? Everybody has a key that can go inside themselves and lock themselves out of jail they put themselves in. Our steps give us the opportunity to lock ourselves, to unlock ourselves out of that jail. Now, I'm not telling you, I'm not sharing with you that the Bible don't give you that same opportunity. It's just that I read it, I got anointed with it, they blessed me with it, they talked to me about it, and it still didn't work. So I needed to come someplace else. And this was the place that God put me in. This was the place that for my personal spiritual seeking development gave me the opportunity to understand that this program has given me some spiritual guidance that I don't always follow. So I'm not about to stand here and tell you that I'm perfect at this because I'm not. I'm not about to tell you that because of the spiritual guidance that I have, that I've been given, that I seek on a constant basis, still does not detain me from being religious. What do I mean by that? That means that I still can steal. I still can lie. I still can maim. I still can hurt other people. We call them defects. In Catholic school, they called them mortal sins. I didn't know in Catholic school that if I participated in a homicide, that that was a mortal sin. We just was told that thou shalt not kill. I didn't know that if you committed a burglary when I was in Catholic school, that that was going to be a mortal sin. But in here, we learn how to forgive ourselves. What a wonderful thing. If I did not learn how to forgive me, I'd be screwed right about now. After being here 15 years. I'm not talking about before I got here. I'm talking about after I got here. If I didn't have the ability to tap into a spirit that gave me the power to be empowered by prayer, to be able to forgive me, how could I forgive you? How could I extend the love that I want to find inside me to another person if I wasn't given that empowerment? Well, I thought where I came from that everything I did was going to be counted against me. I did not know that I had the ability to wash the board clean and start all over again. But when you seek a spiritual power, you have that power. You're not condemned to saying that I am a bad person and I will always be this way. I am given a newfound freedom, a newfound hope that I can get past me long enough to tap into the spirit that's inside of me to share it with another individual. And when I came here, none of you motherfuckers was one of the persons that I wanted to share with. And I don't mean that against anybody personally. I just mean that I hated people so badly because I hated me so badly that I needed to be able to get free of that stuff. If you used dope like I did, you hated yourself when you got here. I drank spitback methadone. Some of y'all may know what I'm talking about. My fronts kept me sick for so long that after I got here, I still was fronting. on any given day, if I'm not touching the spirit, I will still want to be fake. So what I'm sharing with you is that in spite of me, because of me, I know that there's a God of my understanding. I understand the spiritual guidance that I get inside that gives me the power to be the person that I am today. Last but not least, let me just share this with you. You ever go on a sting? And for those people who know what a sting is, you ever go on a caper or robbery or whatever you want to call it? And the voice says, yo, don't do this. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You hear the voice. You listen to the voice. The voice is saying, don't do it. And the other little voice over here says, man, we can get away with this. If that ain't the spirit, tell me what it is. But here's the difference. The human being says, we can get away. It ain't the devil. It ain't the disease. It's you. I need to get in touch with the fact that that's me talking to me, and the spirit is telling me not to do it. Like I said, my disease talks to me in my own voice. I don't know about yours. I didn't use it over what you told me to do or what he told me to do. I used it over what I heard me say. It's okay. We can get some of this. Check out your own story. Ain't nobody in this room had nobody else put a hype in their arm. If next person put a hype in your arm, you kill them. But you can put one in there, it's okay. If that shit ain't crazy, I don't know what it is. But let me get back to the story. So the voice tells you not to go do this. And the other voice says, we got to do it. Now, some of us won't say, I was driven by the fact that I had the cop. And that's cool, because I was sick. I understand that. So is it the dope calling me, or is it my brain telling me that I can't stop using? Because until I got here, I ain't know I had a choice. So hit me in the spirit having this battle, but I'm going on this thing either because I needed to follow somebody else, or I needed to go get me some dope because I can stop feeling the way I wanted to feel. But lo and behold, the angels show up. You know, them angels with the blue suits with the little handcuffs. So the angels show up. You get knocked off. And when you get in your cell, you say, damn. I knew I shouldn't have did this. Where was the religion when the spirit was telling you, don't do this, motherfucker? The practice of listening to the spirit is how you develop. But I'm unwilling to practice because I really want to hear me. How sneaky my disease is when it tells me in my own voice to listen to me rather than to the spirit. I don't care what religious background you had to get you here. The spirit is always talking to you, whether you listen to the religion or not. The fact of the matter is, am I willing to listen to the religion, or am I willing to listen to the spirit? How many times you sat in meetings or in church and said, I don't really want to hear this mug? Check it out. There's some of y'all sitting right outside now saying, I don't really want to hear him. And that's cool. I'm cool with that. I get my freedom. But what I'm sharing with you is my progression of seeking the spirit is learning how to get in touch with not just the right and wrong, but my spiritual development. How willing are you, King, to get out your way long enough to allow the spirit to guide you? most of the time, I will do what kings say rather than what the Spirit say. Right now, today, most of the time, I will do what kings say, not what the Spirit say. The discipline, the willingness to be open-minded to listening to the Spirit inside me, in spite of me, is hard to do. I'm lazy sometimes. I don't feel like being nice to my fiance sometimes. I don't want to listen to so-and-so sometimes. I walk through that door, maybe an old lady, I slam the door in her face sometimes. Spiritually, I already know that I need to hold the door for. Spiritually, I need to know how to say thank you. But in my head, it say, man, fuck them, I ain't feeling them. They know better. They can hold the whole door to themselves. You feel me? It's just some little things. It's those little things that I am so happy, so grateful that the program has given me in regards to how to develop spiritually based on the fact that I already had some religious background and I still couldn't do what I was trying to do, was seek a spiritual experience in this human body. How do I elevate myself closer to the God of my understanding? How do I get in touch with more, how to become more godlike, to share that love with another human being? How do I give off the energy of being godlike, of being loving, of being caring to another child of God when my brain says, fuck them? I know y'all know what I'm talking about. It's my time, huh? Oh, I got time? Get out of here. I thought I talked long enough already. Hey, you know, I am having so much fun. And I'm going to tell you why. I hate to do this to you, baby. My fiance has a family of Baptist ministers. I don't go to church. I don't even like church. I come from a place where dudes like Reverend Ike and a couple other people, that's who I grew up around. As far as I'm concerned, most ministers is ripoff artists. That's my own personal thought process. Understand what I'm saying? And I'm being as frank with y'all as I can. How do I pose a question to a person when they believe that ministers walk on cloud nine? They possibly can't do no wrong. Excuse the expression, but I know of ministers who did a lot of stuff. I even sold some dope to a couple of them. What am I talking about? As a kid, it was already shown to me that religion was not for me. So what did I do? I went seeking some spiritual development, but never knowing where to find it at. So as far as I was concerned, Gunji, $2 bags of dope, was the answer. I know I'm skipping around a lot, but I'm trying to bring this someplace. And what I'm trying to share with y'all is that the blessing that come through prayer and meditation to improve a conscious contact with a God of your understanding. And it is such a freedom to find out that God could be anybody that I, my understanding of God. What is my understanding? Whether it's this small or this large, is all God needs to enter my system. I did not know that God was in everybody. They told me God was everywhere, but they didn't tell me he was in everybody. Do you understand what I'm saying? God is everywhere, but he's not in everybody. Well, we found out that God is in everybody. How do I know that? In 1979, 90, a dude that I used to, that I grew up with from cornflake days, sat me in a park on 130th Street and 7th Avenue at 4 o'clock in the morning and told me about recovery. Me and this guy did so many different things together, and all of a sudden, he was clean, talking calmly at 4 o'clock in the morning, and we had no Swiss up. And I didn't understand that. But he was my first angel. I have been talked to by many, many people, but it was the first person that God sent to me that I felt, that I listened to, that I heard. And I'm pretty sure, looking in the eyes of some of you people, that you identify with your angel. And if you can identify with your angel, you in touch with your God. Check out the link. God speaks to us through people. So if somebody is speaking to you about God, believe me, God sent them. Now that could be a pastor, a minister, a nun, or a dude on the street. But I need to understand the link that brings me back to a God of my understanding. I need to not put a face on God. I don't need to. You may. But the deal is that if God is speaking to you through a human being, and most of the time he's going to challenge you to be a better person, so he's going to give you some work to do in the process of having that human being speak to you and share with you about how you can improve yourself spiritually through a God of your understanding, trust me, God is talking to you. If you listen to your spirit and move your mind out the way and allow the spirit to talk to you, you will hear God talking to you. The freedom that you get when you connect with the spirit. I don't care if you're financially plagued, if you're walking on one leg, if somebody left you, if somebody died, you will find freedom in seeking a God of your understanding. I only can share that with you because it's been my experience. I didn't read it in a book. It just did not come by osmosis. It came through some pain. And pain don't have to be a motivator. Check that out. I do not need to be motivated to get to God through pain. I can seek him ahead of time before pain get here. Why do I gotta wait till I get in pain? If I am touching, speaking, praying of a God of my understanding on a constant basis, some of the time I'll see pain coming before I get there. Most of the time, I wait till after it's gone before I thank God for bringing me in. So maybe I need to thank him in the process. Maybe I need to thank him for all the pain he brings me. How do I embrace God in spite of the fact that I'm already in the pain? Check that out. This thing is powerful, man. You could be in pain and thank God for being in pain. Try it. See how much work you want to do. Try thanking God for being in pain. Because the only relief you're going to find is when you can thank God long enough to get through the pain. You can't get through the pain unless you bring God with you. Other than that, you're going to do what we always do. We're going to find something to stop the pain. Whether it be food, money, clothes, cars, sex, we're going to find something to stop this pain. We're going to go shopping. We're going to do something. So if I can stop doing all those things and still thank God for being in this pain and embrace him knowing that he got me no matter what's going to happen to me, I'm challenged to become a better person, but I'm going to develop spiritually no matter damn what. In the end, when I come through another side, and it's going to be another side, no matter how dark and long this hallway is, there will be another side. I will be a better person character-wise than I've ever been before. The only reason will be is because I will be able to separate, disseminate, break down the difference between me talking to me and God talking to me. So thanks for letting me share.